When I came, I had some rain. So I had to use an umbrella. And one famous actor became famous because of his umbrella. You know who? Yes, you know. So one day I went to one work site and it was raining. And I flipped over my umbrella. And he said, "Hold on, hold on." I said, "Hold on what?" He said, "Hold on, I've got to take a big picture." And it says, "New skills, new future." And then he says, "What? No skill, no future." You know, our children all have a great future. That's part of God's total plan. You need to understand that the greatest blessing that is upon the people of God is a great future. And this is something God has already planned. But the problem is, that's why you must never miss this great future the Lord has for each one of us. God has never designed each one of us, any of us, for a bad future. A bad future is something we choose. That's why there are some people who say, "I got no future." Hey, that's what the devil says. But God says, "No, you have a great future. Your future is great. Don't miss it." So you need to learn how to take hold of your future and make yourself, bring yourself under that future. And so today, I want to focus on how to bring that great future into your family. And it's something that God has planned. And so in this short time, I'm going to share with you, thanks to Jackie with new technology, I now can tell you what I want to say. And then we will trust us a lot for help now. Let me check whether my visualizer is working. Okay, I'm told that I can. Is this okay or do I need to make it? Bigger. Okay. So those of you who cannot see what I write here, you see at the side. You have to exercise your neck. All right. So one of the most important word that all of you have seen is this big word called who has starts with God. There is no blessing without God because God is a blesser. And if you are one person around, God wants to bless you. And so I just want you to know everything focus on one person. That's God. That important thing is from the first day planet Earth was being created, God began to speak blessing. So God is a blesser. Now, most of us don't understand the power of blessing or the power of cursing. That's why we underestimate the principle of blessing. And I believe God's blessing is for every family. And if you will be able to pick up God's way of blessing, it's not empty words. When God bless, He speaks the word of blessing. Now, words can be empowered by God. That's why you need to learn how to bless. So today, I want to focus on a few key words before we pray. The first thing I need you to know about is the word, what the meaning of the word blessing is, because too many ideas about what the word blessing is. And this word speaks of being in God's presence. All right. So the word presence is a word for you to remember. The few, that means you are out of God's presence, you are out of the blessing. So the key word will be because of presence, God always gives His presence by the word walking. So if you walk with God, you walk with God. This is an important word. When the Bible talks about walking with God and God walking with us, then the blessing flows. If you walk by yourself, sorry, no blessing. If you walk with God, there will always be blessing. It may come in all shapes and sizes, and sometimes it's camouflage, but the blessing will always be there. Because in God's presence, and when God walks, when we walk with God, the blessings flow. That's the first thing I want you to remember. So, presence, a blessing, and walking with God. If you keep walking with God and God walks with you, there is blessing. So these two words I want you to remember. And today I want to talk about the secret of two families, the story of two families, and why their future is so different. Even 4,000 years down the road, it's so different. It determines your destiny. So when there is blessing, you have destiny, that is what we call a great future. All right. So these are the secondary words, a great future. You are destined for a great future. And you are not into an uncertain future. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us grasp two things that I'm going to talk about, three things. First, about the two families. I want to tell you a story about two families, and I want you to remember that God blesses families. Two, as how do you stay within the blessing, and so that you always live under blessing, not under curse. Some of you will recognize your life up to now is not a blessing, but God wants to change that into from a curse to a blessing. All right. So I'm going to break the curse first in my first prayer, and I'm going to ask God for a releasing of blessing. But you need to, as we sang in that song, it's for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the blesser. From day one, you bless the things you created. You bless the first couple, male and female. You bless families, and your blessing has never stopped, even till this day. So in Jesus' name, I take authority over every curse that is evident in the life of any member in this congregation. And I break that curse in the name of Jesus, so that these curses will not continue, whether it be family disharmony, whether it be sickness, or whether it be unwellness, especially when the doctors cannot tell why you are what is the cause, but yet you know you are not so well. Whatever known cause or unknown cause, I break this curse that the devil has imposed upon every family represented here. And I release right now, by the authority of Jesus, the blessing that God, you have already mentioned in your word, blessing in the home, blessing outside, blessing in the food supply, blessing in great health, blessing in being the head and not the tail, blessing of every shape and form that comes from the throne of Jesus. I release it into your spirit, man, faith to arise so that you'll get into the presence of God and to walk with God, because when you do so, blessed is the man that walks with God. So in Jesus' name, we receive the blessings of your hand, O Lord, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this short time I'm going to share with you, I want to talk first of all about number of, you got your notes. I'll tell you sometimes the order, I might switch a little bit. The first thing I want to talk about is the type of blessing that you might be encountering. Let me see whether I can focus a little bit. All right. You also, anytime the visual folks can project a better picture, fine. These are my notes. I just want to refer some of the words here. That I want to begin with 1B. Your notes show parable 1B. There are three kinds of treasures or blessings the Bible talks about. The blessing of a treasured blessing. Now, this is a term God uses. Treasured blessing means something of high value. Okay. Now, the Bible says that God chooses us to be a treasured possession. Once you are a treasured possession, whatever God's treasures are available become available to you to tap on. All right. That's the first thing. Blessings come as treasured. The Bible uses the word treasured possession. What is the most treasured possession? People, you, okay, not things. Please remember that. We always think of blessing as things. Yes, blessing, we always think of money as one blessing. That's true, but people are God's greatest blessing. And you are a treasured blessing because of God's choice. Now, secondly, the Bible talks about generational blessings. That means blessings that can flow. The Bible talks about 1,000 generations. It simply means that the blessings that the Lord has flowed into your life will flow to your children's life generational by generation. But curses also flow by generations. It goes both ways. So you will walk with God. The blessings you have not only goes to you, but to the generations that will, your children, your children's children. God promised that it will impact to 1,000 generations. And you're going to see this in the story I'm going to tell shortly. There's a third kind of blessing the Bible calls more blessings. That's why my key verse today is the Lord is going to bless you more and more and more. Of course, some people say those who get money wants more. Well, when you want blessings, you want more. So God is a God of more blessings. So the key verse I give you today is you'll be blessed with more than. Okay, God has no limits to the blessings. Do you know that? God has no limits. The limits is set by us. All right, now. So the first thing I'm going to... So I began in my... notes to you, the first sentence is that it is great to be under blessing. Can I revert to my this thing? You know, my introductory sentence in your notes says, it is a great thing to live under blessing. Don't live under curse. Live under blessing. That's your destiny. Second, there's more to it. It's even greater thing to be blessed more than any other. Blessed more than any other. That's part of the destiny God has for the God, people of God. Now, there is something about God walking with men and men walking with God. Okay, I don't have this in the transparencies, but walking, you see, I talk about walk. Walk with God, walking with God. Now, there's something you need to know that not many Christians know. And that is found in Deuteronomy. It's not a common verse that people come across. It's in Deuteronomy 23:14. It's a strange verse. It says, God says you must keep the place clean. You know, a chairman is supposed to advise us, please don't bring food in here, don't eat food. I understand we just distributed food this morning, is it? Everybody got a pack of food, I understand. It's called bakwa or something. Don't eat that. Not here. I mean, eat outside. Now, Deuteronomy 23:14 tells that God says when the children of Israel were encamped, God says, please keep the clan area clean. Don't leave dirt around. That's why we say we don't eat in the sanctuary. We don't drink in the sanctuary unless you want to be the speaker. You can drink if you're the speaker. But don't drink, don't eat in the sanctuary. Because when we gather, God's presence come in. And then the Bible says God walks around in the midst of his people. So Deuteronomy 23:14, God gave a very strange instruction. He says, the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, and he may see no unclean thing among you. And the unclean thing, if you refer earlier, has to do with rubbish. No unclean thing among you, and turn away from you. Did you notice that? Did you, any of you know that keeping your house clean is important if you want God to be present? Keeping the sanctuary clean is important if you want God. He says, because God walks around here. That's what he says. He walks around. And he walks around you too. And to bless you, to keep you from your enemies and so on. So it's a wonderful thing. So that's why our chairman is supposed to tell you, please do not eat in the sanctuary. Do not drink coffee. Do not please spill coffee on the carpet, although it's the same color as coffee. That's no excuse. So no eating, no drinking here because of your respect. You know, if the important men come to your house, you don't carry on eating, right? You pay attention to your your important guests. So there's something strange about this, I thought. But the Word of God says, keep it clean. Keep your heart clean. Keep your house clean. Keep the sanctuary clean. Because God walks among you. Have you ever thought that when you are in your family and you are having family time, God walks among your family members? So I suggest when you are having family time, don't eat and talk at the same time. Okay. Anyway, we are not supposed to talk with our food in our mouth. All right. So that's about cleanliness. But I want to tell you a story about two families. The Bible from chapter 5, so I'm now going to point 1. So I'm going to talk about Seth's family. Now there's one word that, that Seth says. It's, first of all, the word Seth means appointed. Do you know God appoints, make appointments? God appoints. You are appointed by God in being a member of his family. Do you realize that? It's an appointment. It's a great privilege. Don't look down at that. So God says, Seth, meaning appointed. The word Seth simply means appointed. His name means appointed. Appointed for what? Appointed for blessing. Do you know that blessing is an appointment? Something God appoints. So Seth, you know, the Word of God says something good happened during when Seth was born. Do you know every time your children is born, they are either born into blessing or curse. So the moment your baby arrives, speak the blessing of God on his behalf, because blessing need to be spoken. Therefore, in chapter 4, verse 26, 4:26 of Genesis, tells you about the birth of Seth. And as for Seth, to him also, to Adam, was a son was born, and he named him, earlier on, let me see, yeah. Verse 25, he says, God, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. It was appointed for blessing. And then, how did God bless this man, Seth? He says, from the day he was born, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Something good happened when Seth was born. And then Seth have got a children called Enosh, and so on. And it went on and on. And you find that up to the third, fourth, fifth generation, they're all under blessing. For instance, further down the line was born a son called Enoch. Enoch is... When Enoch was born, he knew how to walk with God. And why? Because Seth has transmitted down the fear of the Lord. The blessing that was upon Seth went down Enosh, and then further down, then they came to third generation, Yarad. You have a J here, Jarad. In Hebrew, we call it Yarad, means falling. Blessings falling. And Yarad lived the second oldest man that ever lived. And then, the next generation, Enoch was born. Enoch walked with God, and God walked with Enoch. That means they enjoyed each other's presence. So from Seth descended down the line, he transmitted this value of walking with God. That means you walk in obedience, value God, worship God. And Enoch was so happy with God. And God was so happy with him that God said, "Hey, this evening instead of you going home, why don't you come to my home?" And the Bible says Enoch disappeared. He was resurrected, so to speak. He was snatched up into God's presence. So where did he go? I don't know. But he went home with God. That's all I knew. And then he never died. You know, many of you maybe will also have the same experience. When Jesus comes, you won't have to die. I know they say in the papers in Beijing, they have a long line of people waiting to be cremated. Well, it'd be nice if you are not cremated at all. You go straight into God's presence. So Enoch demonstrates to us that when you walk with God, it's real. You can go home with God. You don't die. It's nice that we don't die at all. Death doesn't visit us. So that was a big blessing to Enoch. And Enoch then has a son. So he named the son Methuselah. Methuselah simply means on the day he dies, the flood will come. So it's a prophetic name that gives God's appointed time for the destruction of the world because of sin. When Enoch's son was born, Methuselah, God gave Enoch through this name what we call a prophetic word to say in 969 years to come, the flood will come. All right, let me take a new piece of paper. So Methuselah is a prophetic name and telling the countdown of the world, Methuselah. So Methuselah became the name for what? Long life. 969. That's the longest a person could ever live. Of course, not now, but in those early days, 969 was the longest living. He had the blessing of long life. You know, short life, premature life, a death is not a blessing. Just take note of that. Premature death is not a blessing. It's a curse. Premature death would be what? A person living even 50 years is considered premature. Okay. When is the correct time to go, well, roughly about 120. I know some of you don't believe it, right? Last week they announced one lady in France lived 118. And now, I don't mean, you know, like walking along like a decrepit from age 80. No, you can stay healthy. You know, a long life is one of the blessings promised for those who honor father and mother. Children, I know many children here, but I'm talking about unmarried people here. You know, honoring of your parents when they are alive carries that blessings too. So long life is a blessing. A long and good life is a blessing. When the Bible talks about long life, it doesn't mean just having many years of sickness. No. You are not destined for long life of sickness. You are destined for a long life of great health. All right. And so this is Enoch speaking on the blessing through when the child is born. So when your child is born, married couples, just remember, ask the Lord for a name that speaks of blessing after the future. Yeah. Don't just give any old name. You know, in the old days, when I was in primary one, I went to school, I met people who is called son number one. Then I met a brother, he's called son number two. This is a Hainanese way of numbering. And then I met one guy, he introduced, oh, his brother, he's son number seven. Oh, I said, many sons, but it's only a number. No, you're not a number, you are destined for blessing. So after Methuselah was blessed, he had some more descendants. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, you see the blessings go down to all the way to verse 29. It says that the grandson was a chap called Noah. You know, all these are prophetic names. Noah means comfort. That means you are encouraged, you are comforted. This is a name that is prophetic, and the blessings continue to flow. And this son Noah was so blessed, even though the whole world was in a big mess. The Bible says the world got more and more wicked, and every thought and intent of the heart was wicked. To such a point that God even regretted that he had made man. Well, this is a term we call is anthropomorph. What is the word for it? Morphize? Sorry, I just missed the word. Meaning to say, using a human term to describe how God felt that he created men for a great future, but they decided to choose a bad future. So God said, it's so bad. Because God is the Lord. He's creator of all. He has a standard. He desires that the world will glorify his name. But when men choose to go his own way and continue to be wicked, it was a situation that could only be dealt with destruction. But God said that anyone who is willing to repent will be saved. In other words, the death sentence upon planet Earth in those days was not one that has no way out. There was a way out. And that's why Noah had to build that great big ship called the Ark. So, the Bible says further that amidst all this big mess, Noah found grace or favor. Grace, favor. That's something you need to know about blessing. This word favor. All right. You got it in your notes too. Favor. Do you know it's important to be under favor? Favor and favoritism are two different things. Favor simply means God's grace is upon you. You are destined for God's grace if you will walk with Him. Your children are destined to have favor. So when you bless your children, bless them with favor of the Lord. Not just a favor of man. God's favor be upon my children. Lord, I bless my son that he will always find favor with you because of his obedience to you, because of his desire to walk with you, that he will always find favor. Pray that way upon your children and your future children, because that is a powerful prayer. And because Noah, this is already, okay, Enoch was called sixth generation from Adam. Enoch, the sixth generation man, was blessed because of the second generation man called Seth. He was so blessed. And his generations to follow, Noah was so blessed because God talked to him, God blessed him. And just because God talked to someone doesn't mean he's blessed unless he walks with God. We learn a little bit more. God has got no favoritism. He talks to all. But will you receive this favor? You need to understand that all true favor comes from God. Romans chapter 8 takes a long passage that says, He, God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him, with Jesus, freely give us all things? You see, you need blessings in things. He will freely give you all things. If God who spared his not, didn't even spare his own son, but delivered him up to the cross as a sacrifice for our sin, how will he not freely give you all things? And then it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's why you need to be on God's side. Make sure you're on God's side. Your children are on God's side. No one can be against you. And then Paul goes on to say, and you are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. What's the reason that God wants to bless us, make favor for us? Because he loved us. Now, that's a reason I want to explain. Now, sometimes we think that God is arbitrary. He just pick and choose. No, he actually chose all of us. It's a choice he has made. And so in my notes I gave you, I want to highlight the part that I'm covering on the blessing that, where is that? That it's a choice from Deuteronomy 7. All right, never mind. Let me give you some details here. Again and again in Deuteronomy 7, God says this. All right, let me just sum up that what the scripture says. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to verse 8. It's in your notes under 1b. Yeah, under 1c. All right. God's word says this, that the Lord did not choose you or bless you because you are more in number than any people. But the Lord chose you and loved you because, and blessed you because of two reasons. Because first of all, God said, I made an oath with your fathers. Okay. Firstly, he had chosen to love you. That's one thing. It's very hard to explain about love, right? But God loves you. That's what he declares. Secondly, he says, because he wants to keep an oath. What oath? A covenant oath. Oath means a promise. In a way, they call it a swear word, but we don't use swear word now because it's now got a different meaning. It's an oath he swore to who? Your fathers. So the blessings swore to our spiritual fathers, actually it's Abraham. The Lord has bred you out of with his mighty hand. He's talking, going back to the days when the people of Israel were being set free from slavery. And he says that he did all this because of two things. The Lord loves you. Secondly, he has a promise, an oath he has made to your forefathers that he'll bless you. Okay. I like also go back to the verse that this tie-in with is Deuteronomy 5:29. In Deuteronomy 5:29, the Lord declares the reason for blessing. In 5:29, Deuteronomy 5:29, God made a promise, and that is the basis of all these blessings. In 5:29, God says this. God desires, this is how we stay in under blessing. God says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they will fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. You always keep my commandments. So if you are in this sphere where you respect God, fear God means to respect God, and you keep all his commandments always. You see the word? Always keep all my commandments. It might be well with us and our children forever. So it's a blessing that when you keep, you take the trouble to keep his commandments. Now, the commandments are just expression of what God wants us to do. Or it speaks of his values. But the blessing here I want to highlight is not only for you, but for your children. Forever. Take note of that. That's the blessing of the Lord. And then, that's why when God said that when he blesses us, he blesses us not only in our worship, but in our very lives. So, the Lord said in Deuteronomy later on when they concluded, God said that I've blessed you. How much have I blessed you? To what extent? Take note of this verse. That the Lord has blessed you because, let me just give you, he says, in the final days in Deuteronomy, God said that I've blessed all the works of your hands. This was Moses toward the end of his life. And God was speaking to Moses and through Moses. I've blessed all the works of your hands. All. Because looking back, sometimes we wonder, oh, we went through tough times. Is there a blessing? Yes, it was in camouflage. But God declared toward the end, in the final days of Moses, I have blessed all the works of your hands. So all looking back, all the years that you have walked with God, every step of the way, I've blessed all, not one, not two, not half, not 50%, all the work of your hands. And I know you're walking in the great wilderness. That means the period that you have to spend 40 years in the desert. It was not comfortable living. I know it was a tough time. I understood that period of your testing, 40 years in the wilderness. But I've blessed all the works of your hands. Now, one of the things that you want to focus on is toward the end of your life. You want to be hearing God telling you, son, I've blessed all the works of your hands. It was not wasted effort. It was not a dead loss. It was not in vain. Everything that you ever did for me, your worship, your being, taking time to be punctual here. You know, we talk about God walking around, that when we start the worship, God's presence is here, waiting for some of us who are habitual latecomers. Can you respect God a little bit? If you believe God is here, can you be a little bit ahead of Him? 5 minutes. Okay. But whatever it is, if you walk in sincerity and in obedience, you will be able to experience that not a single one of your effort is wasted. But sometimes, you know, we look back at what we do, we say, yeah, I think that period of my life I wasted my time. That period I was going around in circles. But if you are walking in obedience, all my commandments, all the time, then God promises you will see blessing on all the works of your hands, everything you ever did. So, I suggest what you do in this Chinese New Year. Ask God in a prayer that God will help you to do everything that will count. Pray for your children. Pray this blessing upon their children so that your children, by the end of their lives, will be able to say, God has blessed all the works of my hands. Make it your life ambition that at the end of your life, you look back and you say, wow, everything I did counted. Everything I did made a difference. Everything I did was blessed. Have you ever thought of that? That's what God's word promises, that He will bless you. And so this is the extent of the promise. And it happened to Seth, a wonderful family that from even Noah, right down, you read the word of God, God bless them all the way for the next 4,000 years to the time of the Lord. Every generation, one after the other, roughly about 60 more generations to come after Noah, were blessed. That means God's hand was upon every one of the descendants all the way. And it is recorded for us in the Word of God. And because their life counted, every one of Seth's descendants had been given a timetable, their birthday and their death day, how long they live. Because their life counted. So God counted every year that they lived. But this is not so in the other family. So God counted not only the years they lived, but God also projected the next 4,000 years that Seth's blessing is going to come finally at the arrival of the birth of Jesus. Generation after generation. God keep tracks. Now, how many of you realize that God keep tracks of your generation? He's keeping track of the name of your children. And until Jesus comes, there will be, the lineage will be tracked. And so always pray that you, whatever you do, will make a difference for the next generation. I know some of you think that, what's the difference? I teach the Bible also like that. I don't teach, it's also like that. No, the Word of God is very clear that if you, like Seth, take the trouble to glorify God, you'll make a difference. There are many other blessings, but the blessings are many, but it goes on and on and on because your generations are not under curse. Your preceding generation can be under curse, but you break that under by the power of Christ, so that you do not carry on this curse up to the fourth generation. Okay. So how you pray, how you live, determines your next generation. Now, the next family I want to talk about is Cain's family. Cain's family is found in chapter 4. So Cain, what kind of life did he live? How did it matter for Cain? Well, first of all, we know Cain was living a life under the curse. So what do people do when they are living a life under curse? They also will look quite successful. So under my para 3, I'm now talking about the family of Cain. So there's one word about Cain that was not so good. And that's found in chapter 4, verse 11. After he murdered his brother, he was an angry young man. He was so privileged. Cain was a man. His name means acquire. Acquire. So he went around acquiring things. But the starting verse there, verse chapter 4, 11, says, God said, and so now you are cursed from the earth. Why was there a curse? Because of his sin. The Bible used sin the second time here, and because earlier on, verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7 says, if you do well, Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? That means if you do well, you will also be accepted. God is not putting a curse on him for arbitrary. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin is right there in your life. Can you deal with it? But you should rule over it. That means God gives us authority to deal with sin. Don't say, oh, I can't help it. What to do? No, no, no. God says, you can rule over sin in your life. So you must make a decision. He didn't. So what happened? Verse 11 says, so now you are cursed from the earth. Now, it's very hard life when you are living under curse. If your children live under curse, it's very hard life. Don't ever allow that to happen. But what happened? Why was Cain's family in such a bad state? Verse 16 gives us some clue. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Can you underline the word presence? Cain went out. Take note. He went out from the presence of the Lord. That means to go out from the presence of the Lord, you have to be in the presence of the Lord. Is that correct? So he was in the presence of the Lord, enjoying a lot of stuff. But when he went out from the presence of the Lord, that was the day the curse began to operate. He went to where? He went to the land of Nod and the east of. Nod means wandering. He's just wandering from one thing to another. Although it's the land of Nod, he was always wandering away from God. He was not tied in with God. So that was the big decision. Never, never move out from the presence of God. Take note of this. Psalm 16:11 says, in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at its right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in the presence of the Lord that you have fullness of life. Never depart from the presence of the Lord. In fact, in the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17 says, cursed is the man whose heart departs from the Lord. So it's about the condition of our heart. You know, when our heart departs from the presence of the Lord, that is the day the law of curse begin to operate. Because only in the presence of God is there blessing. You need to understand that. So What happened to his family? Well, you notice Cain's family members don't have any birthday and death day. Nobody knows when they were born. Nobody knows when they died. Does it matter? Well, when it matters, God counts your days. So, first thing, none of his descendants got any track record of how long they lived. Second, his fourth generation down the line had people like this guy called Lamech, had the same kind of anger. So, in chapter 4, verse 24, this is his descendants, fourth generation down the line. He says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech, me, 77-fold. You see, meaning to say, he's a very vengeful person, very aggressive, very angry all the time, just like Cain. Cain was angry. He didn't deal with his anger. Hey, guys, if you don't deal with your anger, let me tell you, that anger is going to get transmitted down. And your children will be more angry than you. Little bit, they get angry. And refuse to repent. Unrepentant. Proud. Wow, Cain won revenge. I, 77. Wow. What's so wonderful about that? So, fathers, particularly, I'm speaking to you. Get a hold of yourself. Some of you sometimes fall into rage over small things. You get angry with people. You're not happy. You're always complaining. You're always murmuring. Not happy with the food. The food is too cold, too hot. Watch out. You are transmitting this curse down the line. And it carries on and on and on. So what are characteristics of Cain? Well, he did a lot of things that impressed people. First of all, he was the first one to build a city. And he doted on his son Enoch. By the way, this Enoch and the other Enoch are two different Enochs, all right? So, he built his first city. Cain was into building cities. Because cities and construction is a visible sign of your achievement. And then Enoch was the son. So he doted on the son, and when he built that city, he named after his son's name. Hey, don't idolize your children. Worship God. He did everything for his son. What's the outcome? Nothing. Then his son and his descendants are what? Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, one called Jabal, the other called Jubal. They all sound the same. And so Jabal had significance in what? In developing the keeping of animals. Take a look at that verse. We say verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20. Lamech's first wife, Adah, had the first son called Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. He keep a lot of sheep and cattle. So his significance is in sheep and cattle is a measurement of your wealth. So Cain focused on building construction to have big monuments to glorify himself. And his son, great-grandson, Jabal, built what? Livestock is a measurement of wealth. How many cattle you have, how many sheep you have. He is focused on wealth, not on eternity, not on glorifying God. Then Jabal's brother, called Jubal, what did he focus on? He wanted to be the best musician in the world. So he manufactured instruments of all kinds. He plays the harp, he makes the harp, he plays the flute, he finds glory in his ability, his performance. And he was a pioneer. So he found significance in the glory of music through music. This is, by the way, about 6,000 years ago. So all these instruments are nothing new. Then what about the other son? Okay, verse 22. The second wife of Lamech bore a son called Tubal-Cain. He became an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. Some engineering. That means he was good. He knew how to refine copper. He was an instructor. He can train people. Where did he learn it from? Obviously from Adam. Adam was around. There had plenty of time. So he was into engineering. And he finds significance in making good things, interesting objects, maybe even useful objects. But they find glory in the work of their hands. So it looks very impressive. In our society today, it has not changed for the last 6,000 years. We impress people with what we can produce. We impress people with our skill and music, for instance, with our ability. We impress people with our wealth. We impress people with construction monuments and things that you can see. That's why in all the major cities in the world, what do they build? They build higher and higher buildings, higher and higher. Now they are aiming for 1 kilometer high building. Who is going to stay up there? Only birds. Human beings cannot go up so high. When there's a fire, the fire brigade cannot reach you. 1 kilometer is impossible. So I'm not discouraging you from buying high rise. But just remember, the higher you go, the harder for fire brigade to come. All right? So human beings find significance in their achievements. Watch it. A lot of us, we forget that the blessings from God is not what you have achieved in the sight of man. What man thinks, it is so wonderful. Watch it. Because impressing human beings is not the way to impress God. They focus, the family of the family of Seth focus on walking with God. It's not that they do nothing else. They did other things. But their focus was not on impressing people with their wealth. They were always talking about walking with God. Because when we walk with God, and God walks with us, the blessing begins to flow. Then lastly, I just want to run through, what should we do then? One of the things that we learn, we must learn how to bless. Because you see, the world only curse. When I was living in a kampung, when I was a young boy, we all learned all different languages. We had Malays, we had Hokkien, and so on. But one thing bad, learning in languages in a kampung, they always learn curse words. But God says you need to break that habit and begin to speak blessing words. Okay. One of the habits you need to develop is learn to bless the Lord. When we meet on Sunday morning, that 15 minutes is very precious. We are all learning to bless the Lord. It's an opportunity which you set for blessing God. So don't be passive when you come on a Sunday morning, and don't be late. Because if we start late, we go later and later, and God is waiting for us. No, begin with God says you, and to do so, you need to be a holy people. God is not looking for good people. He's looking for holy people. Holy people are people who has dedicated their lives to bless God. That's a holy people. Setting aside our life to bring glory to God. That's a holy people. So you sanctify yourself. Jesus has sanctified us through his blood, yes. But we need to live a life of sanctification to keep being sanctified. So when we walk in obedience, you are sanctifying your life. When you make time for the word of God, you are setting aside time in the Word and with your children to talk about the things of God. That's called sanctification. Second, you need to walk by faith. I've given you, that's the verse I'm looking for, Deuteronomy 2:7. Remember this one. This is, in a way, a promise. When you walk by faith, it says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. Take note of that. Is that possible? Yes, that's what God says. He wants to bless all, not some. All the work of your hands. He has watched over you in your journey through the vast desert. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. When the Lord your God is with you, what will happen? You will lack how much? Nothing. You have lacked nothing. This is the final word that God has spoken through Moses. 40 years gone by. You have not lacked anything. You know, sometimes in our lives we feel we lack finance. We lack energy. We lack good health. We lack enthusiasm. But God says you lack nothing as long as I'm with you. 40 years. So the other day I look back in the last 40 years. I say, Lord, is this verse true in my life? I look back 40 years. But I said, I scratched my head. I said, but Lord, there was one period I really was so depressed. Is that part of the blessing? Yeah, but also you have lacked nothing. I look back, I say, yeah, it was a tough time. It was a walk through a wilderness in the desert. But I lacked nothing. Then I said, after 40 years, I look at my finances. I said, do I lack finances? Oh, I don't lack finances. That's why this morning I decided to give out ang paos. All right, that's not church money, by the way. If I use church money, that's not the way to go about it. All right? I just want you to understand that the same blessing comes into your family. Can you receive it?
Amen.
Great. So when you say amen, God hears it. Yeah. So I'd like you to remember this verse because you will lack nothing. Don't worry about the recession that's coming. You will lack nothing. Then you need to choose wisely every. Just like Seth, he knew how to choose. Don't choose the way of Cain. Choose the way of Seth. If you are one of those who are angry all the time, God's word says you are supposed to rule over that anger. Rule over that bad habit. You say, I got no skills in the word of God. Then remember this umbrella says, if you don't acquire skills, no future. So please can acquire some skills during this year. You say, well, I'm not very good in teaching my children the Bible. Learn how to teach the Bible to your children. Oh, I don't know how to make it interesting. Learn how to do it. That's a skill that you do it by learning. And so, choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose this book as the way you're going to walk so that you obey all the commandments always. The blessing will flow. That's what God says. It's nothing mysterious. If you are starting a new family, choose the word of God. Don't say, I got no time for it. You don't say, but I read Genesis, I don't understand. Then that's why every Saturday, 7:30, I'm teaching Genesis. You say, you don't understand, right? What do you learn? So you can bless God in return because he has blessed you. Let's just stand and worship the Lord and tell your soul to worship the Lord.